Good morning and welcome to the MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, June 20th already. Oh my gosh, our year is almost halfway over. It's unbelievable. I will be doing the MV Pro Call today. Kelly is in Australia in Down Under visiting his beautiful daughter. So you guys get me this week and next week. So yay! I know. I hear everybody going yay. But anyways, I do want to start off the call with asking everybody, are there any questions that you might have, anything that you ran across this past week or since last time you've jumped on the call that you wanted to share with everybody, experiences or ask any questions or anything like that?
So my question would be, is everybody else dealing with a lot of condensation on softeners in garages with all this humidity?
I can tell you from my experience, not only as a as somebody in that was in sales and is still in sales, but also, yes, as a consumer, we definitely run across that. My old house, I literally the first two summers, I was swearing that I had a crack in my tank because there was so much water. And
yeah.
It was like, is there a leak? Is there what? And so, they do have the sweat tanks or the almost like cozies for cans and bottles. They have those that you can put on there. I think I can try to find a manufacturer or just Google it. And they do have those. They're usually, some companies will throw those in for like an extra $100.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking they might not be that expensive if somebody's willing to, you know, wants to go ahead and get those on there. The others that I know, especially with mobile homes, we would go ahead and we put drip pans underneath them. Even if it was just something that was like for your boots when you walk in, you know, that you have next to your front door, just something to collect all that condensation, because otherwise most mobile homes have just kind of particle board for the flooring. And I literally saw one that fell through the flooring. So it definitely big issue right now. Anybody else running into that?
I've had two customers called totally panicking because their leak alarm was going off. And I go out there and it's like, and dry it off, and I'm not finding leaks anywhere. And so, the first one I called the service manager, I said, are we having some condensation issues? He's like, yeah, we've had four service calls in the past week because people thought their softener was leaking massively.
Yeah.
So, and I always tell, I always put a sticker on, you know, the softeners I sell and stuff with my phone number, call me first. So I went out so I could save her a service call, which she greatly appreciated, and I went back, but we dried it off, but I had one last night. I moved into the home, I'd done an inspection check, everything's working fine, she got salt, ran the regeneration, she called me panicking. One, she said she did hear me when I said the regeneration would take an hour and a half, but she thought it seemed longer than that. So she was freaking that it was broke. So I swung by and I was like, you know, when it's got like 10 minutes left and everything's working beautifully on it, but the condensation was horrible. But we had massive rain yesterday. And I'm like, because I'd ran it through the paces the day before. There's no leaks. But just trying to convince people that it's condensation when it's that much water, they're looking at you like you're not.
Right. And especially, Stacy, you're in Ohio, so the water that's coming up from the ground is cold, you know, which is a little bit different than down in Texas or Alabama. The water is a lot warmer down there, but the water that's coming up from the ground in Michigan and Ohio, and it's cold water. So, yeah, that's a good point. Definitely an excellent point to, talk to your office. Also, when people are calling for service calls and saying, I think it's leaking, you know, that's something that we usually don't think about until the second or third person that we're out there, you know? And then it's like, then we realize that we need to tell the office, tell the homeowner that's probably what it is. Wow. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Anybody else have anything? Okay. I want to start off with warm fuzzy because I like the warm fuzzies. Something that happened to me this morning, and you know, I'm staying at Airbnb today. I'm leaving Long Island to head back home for the weekend, coming back out, you know, just the trying to get up early and get everything packed up and get myself going. And I, you know, just kind of one of those mornings that you don't realize you have that kind of maybe grumpy look on your face. And I ran in to grab a coffee over at the 7-Eleven on the corner, and I'm rushing, and I'm just kind of a little frustrated with the person that was in front of me and, you know, wasn't sure which coffee to get. And it's like, come on, just get out of the way, move it. And so there was an older gentleman that was, I'm assuming, was maybe the dad of the family that ran the 7-Eleven. And when I walked up, he kind of looked at me, and I gave him a smile. I think it's just out of habit or instinct that I try to smile a lot. I give him a smile and his demeanor changed. Well, let me kind of backtrack a little bit. His daughter-in-law, whatever she was kind of yelling at him about how he wasn't making the coffee properly and, you know, telling him he was getting grounds in there. So both of us kind of walk up to the counter at the same time with little grumpy looks on our face. But I looked at him and I gave him a big smile. And he immediately smiled, and he complimented me on my smile, on my eyes, and how I just made his morning and everything else. So the challenge I'm giving you today is, even if you're in a grumpy mood, give somebody a great big smile, because you don't know if his daughter or daughter-in-law just yelled at him for making coffee wrong and he's having a bad day too. So, and it made my day that he complimented me. So smile. That's your challenge for the day. Smile at lots of people. So, but as many of you know, we are, Motive Vitality just moved into an office. Like, we've been working out of our home offices for the past 9-10 years plus, but Motive Vitality ourselves, we've been in home offices for quite a few years now, and we decided to open up an actual physical address office. And we've brought in a couple of people to work with us. Laura, I'm not sure if you're on here. Jack, Jack is starting tomorrow. So I'm really excited to have both of them on board. But one of the things that I really had a hard time with is uncluttering the office. Even though we had just moved in, it was uncluttering the office because we just brought in all kinds of boxes. And the other thing that made me think of this topic today is we've started working with a company on Long Island, and it's been a company that's been in business for like 30 years, kind of a one-man show type of situation, slowly bringing in more people to work in the office and in service and so on. And first time that we walked into this office, this showroom, it was like, wow, this is, especially on Long Island, it just didn't grasp showroom. Somebody else walked in and said, this looks more like a warehouse than it does a showroom. And you walk over to the desk, and behind the desk is just stacks of papers and labels and folders and brochures and just stuff, mail. And it's the first thing that the customer sees. And then you walk further back into the office and there's just parts everywhere and there's boxes and there's equipment just everywhere. And my OCD kind of kicked in big time. So I had to start focusing on, and this was, you know, both at home office and both at this new office, it's like, okay, I seriously was having such a hard time working because of all this clutter that was around. The gentleman that we hired to work in the office, he's the same way. He was just like, I could see he's looking at the pile of the paper as we're trying to go through QuickBooks and things like that. So I told him, okay, every morning, let's spend 1 hour uncluttering the office. So I want to talk a little bit. I decided to kind of look into, you know, how much productivity does a company lose because of clutter? And some of the statistics that came up, I was surprised but not surprised. So one of the things that I had read was that we actually spend looking for just lost documents. You know how you set that work order down and you don't remember where you set it down at, or that check that somebody came in and paid and you have to put it in accounts receivable or accounts payable. $2.5 million lost in productivity on people just looking for paperwork that they misplaced or put somewhere because it gets lost in the shuffle. On average, a person wastes 43 hours a week looking for papers. I'm sorry, 4.3 hours a week, which ended up totaling up. They figured it's about 38 hours per year, almost one work week, that we're looking for stuff. I know I can hide my own Easter eggs, so I probably triple that. But and a lot of times it is because I am so famous for walking into the office or you know, my home office, walking in there, and I'm really busy, and I just throw something down. And then after a while, that pile gets bigger, bigger, bigger. Mail, especially. Who doesn't have? How many of you have that counter when you first walk into the kitchen and you throw the mail down there? And then by the end of the week, you're like, oh my gosh, it's like taller than the cat. You know, I think we all have that. So you just, you know, you end up, not only can your mind not focus with all the clutter, but you're having a hard time finding things. Another thing that I found was really interesting, when you have a lot of clutter, it's harder for you to clean off equipment and keyboards and things like that. And they were saying that not only can you have dust, but you can have 7,500 different types of or different particles of bacteria on your keyboard. Ew. You know, at least it's my bacteria usually, but still, go to use somebody else's keyboard and it's like, ew, you're getting somebody else's cooties. So how do we fix this? You know, Kelly always talked about something that he did with his daughter or his niece. He went down to her bedroom one day, and it was just a mess. And it was like to the point where hazmat was going to have to start coming in. And telling a kid to just go clean their room is not, it doesn't work, you know, because they're overwhelmed. They really are. And same with us as adults. We're really overwhelmed. So the first day, Kelly says, hey, you know what, Krista, if you don't mind, I need to do laundry. Can you go ahead and pick up all your dirty laundry and bring it upstairs, put it over by the washer machine? So she did that. And the next day he happened to go down there and he says, hey, you know what? Do you mind, like, all the papers that are kind of laying around and stuff, do you mind going through those and like, keeping what you need and just tossing whatever else you don't need, throw it in the recycle bin? And she did that on day two. So the next day it was, you know, all those clothes that were washed and stuff, do you mind putting those away? And then all the clothes that you didn't put away last week, can you just toss those in the drawers, put them where they belong? Third day she did that. The next day it was, you know, can you go ahead, you know, gosh, your dresser's starting to clear off. Do you mind going ahead and dusting, cleaning all that stuff off? And it took her 15 minutes to do it. And she organized things. And so then the next day it was, you know, do you mind making your bed every morning? Everything's looking really good. make your bed, and you know, can you run the vacuum too? But just this evening, if you mind running the vacuum. By the end of the week, her room was spotless. As spotless as a teenager's room can be, but it was clean. And then it was so much easier to keep up on. That's why I kind of had to figure out with the filing system, or you know, with the offices also, is I had to go in and I had to do an overview, look and see, okay, what do I need to focus on first? And in the case of the office that I was walking into, where I'm working at right now, is what is the customer looking at? What do they see when they walk in the front door? And the first thing they saw was all those piles of papers and mail and labels and file folders and everything else. That's the first thing that they saw. So on day one, I went ahead and Danny, the gentleman that we had hired, him and I kind of sorted through all that paperwork. And we made a pile for one of the managers to go through. And I asked him the same thing. Can you tell us what we need to keep? Can you tell us what's just junk? And so he did that. He spent maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, going through all of that. And then we were able to take, you know, figure out what was the work orders, what were the invoices, what were, and then we were able to sort them and file them. But it literally took the pile of paper down by half. Then I started seeing, like, all the shipping labels and things like that. And so I started sorting them all. And when I sorted them all, I realized that every time somebody needed a shipping label, they were ordering more shipping labels because they couldn't find them. So they must have 10,000 shipping labels, I swear. It was like, oh my gosh, do you guys ship? And they're like, not really. So they have way too much stock that, like they said, they just kept buying new because they didn't know. We ended up cleaning up all the front. And in that, I'm thinking we need some place to put all the office supplies. I kind of went back towards the back of the office building and found that they had, in a little cubby, they had probably 60 to 70 boxes that were not broke down. They were just boxes that were shoved in like this little, almost like a little room. Like, what the heck? So the next morning, Danny went through and he broke down all the boxes. It took him maybe half hour, 45 minutes. And we realized there's three file cabinets, a microwave that nobody knew was plugged in and works. And they had a file cabinet full of supplies that, and literally they had just run out of ink for one of the printers. And there were a couple of ink cartridges in there for that printer. So they didn't have to go out and spend $40 on a new ink print, cartridge. Boom, right there. We had an ink cartridge. So it was just, you know, going ahead and walk in and kind of assess the situation and think, okay, how am I going to make this so it's easier for me to find things? And you know, try finding if you can get cabinets where you can hide stuff. You know, keep those organized also, but where you're hiding it so you're not constantly looking at things is really, really beneficial. I also recommend 10 minutes at the end of every day, 10 minutes at the end of every day, clean off your desk and make sure that, you know, everything's put away, have a pile of what you need to work on first thing in the morning. And just kind of, you know, day by day, as you're talking on the phone, that's something that I do. As I'm talking on the phone, I will go ahead and I'll wipe things down or I'll organize my drawer or take, you know, things that are on my desk and I'll put them away in the drawers just so they're out of the way. And it's no brainer work. I can listen to the person I'm talking to and I can put stuff away at the same time. Emails is another thing. I have my daughter one time, I opened up my emails and she looked and she says, "You seriously have over 12,000 emails?" I felt kind of important at that time. But the reality was a lot of those emails are junk emails. And so what I started doing was every evening as I was sitting down watching TV, I would go ahead and start sorting through those junk emails or through all of my emails altogether. I started off with folders, and those folders were, you can, especially like Gmail, or I do still have an AOL account, you can set up folders. So you can put, and I set up the folders by clients and vendors. And so I started off first where you can usually click on, like, if you get an email, and I'm going to use Kohl's as an just an example, because I get so many emails from Kohl's. I get like two a day. And or I was getting two a day. Let me rephrase that. So what I right-click it, and it says find to and from. So I click on there, and it gives me all the emails that I've received from Kohl's. And that actually was how I realized I received 2 to 3 emails from Kohl's every single day, because I actually had them pulled up all in a row. I deleted them all except for one. And what I did was I opened that one up and I unsubscribed, because in all reality, if you need to get a coupon, that's why I did it, was so I could get the 20% off coupon. But if you need to get a coupon, all you have to do is sign up for the email again and then unsubscribe after you get the coupon. So, same with Michael's. I did that, and I couldn't believe how many emails I did not get in a day, because I unsubscribed to all those. Then what I started doing was sitting down every night and taking all the emails from the past and moving them in. And some of them were junk emails that, you know, we just kind of back and forth. There wasn't really a whole lot of information being passed on. And a lot of them I put into Salesforce. I stored them into Salesforce so that we have them in the CRM. Something else I realized, though, when I sent an email, it was information you needed. Okay, what information did this person need? So I realized I needed to start taking the emails and being very specific in the subject line. So when I need to go back and look at what I'm looking for in the subject line, or, you know, if I price list for such and such company, that way I know I can go back and look for, I can either put in price list in the search or the company in the search, and then it's going to pop right back up. So that really definitely was helpful, making sure that I have full subject lines. But like just every day, just taking a few minutes. There's a gentleman that is probably one of the smartest men that I know in the industry, and he tells me what he does is every morning he goes through every single one of the emails that he received overnight, and then in the around lunchtime he goes through his emails again, and then at the end of the day he goes through his emails. Those are the only times that he goes through his emails, and he'll put them right into folders, and he won't at the end of the day finish his day until all of those emails are put in a folder somewhere. So he's not waking up to 10,000 emails, maybe just 15 or 20. When I was in sales, another place that I had so much clutter, and all of us, I think most of us can say this, our cars. We live out of our cars. And so that's something that I just recently learned to do was keep like a little file cabinet in your car with extra brochures, or just a file cabinet that you can throw stuff in there instead of just everything being thrown all over the front seat or the back seat or whatever. Keep a little file cabinet or one of those accordion type files, you know, just the ones that are kind of paper-like or cardboard-like. So you can throw stuff in there and kind of keep it organized. Keeping a notepad with you, I think, is nice, because that way you're not rushing around. You're not looking for a napkin to write on. You know? You can write things down. And same thing when you're sitting at the desk answering the phone. I always have my notepad with me. So so that I can go back and look at, oh, yeah, it was Mrs. Jones that called, and this is her phone number, because later on I might forget what her phone number was. Same thing when you're in the car, you know, just jot things down. And not only that, I'm famous for, as I'm driving, I'll jot something down, or I will talk to, you know, my phone to take a note so I can go back and look at it, because, you know, either while I'm driving or while I'm in the shower, that's when I get my best ideas, I think. Keep a trash can in your car. I know that's, you know, might look a little hokey, or a trash can or a trash bag or something. Just keep that in your car, and that way you don't have all the garbage laying underneath the seat and on the floor and everything else. You're able to keep it nice and tidy. And then also, I always keep, like, Windex wipes, or I use Steve's wipes, but I keep some sort of wipes in the car that I can just wipe down the dashboard or the glass, you know, or things like that, just to keep everything looking neat and clean. And you never know when you spill something on yourself that you're going to have to clean yourself up. So, okay, what ideas does everybody else have for, we've got a couple minutes here. What else do you do to keep yourself organized and uncluttered? Anybody? Okay. Let's see. Let's go through, because I made all kinds of lists this week. Cabinets, make sure you can keep the cabinets and everything kind of closed. But I think the most important thing is, you know, just keeping up on it once you do it. Spend a half an hour to an hour each day if you can. Keep everything, you know, file everything away, make piles, and then start sorting through those piles. And then, you know, try to keep everything uncluttered. You're definitely, your mind is going to be a little bit clearer. You're going to be able to find things a lot easier. And I think it's just going to make your life a whole lot better. So, okay, anybody else? Anybody have any questions or anything like that? Awesome. Okay. Well, if anybody needs anything, give me a shout, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.